Welcome to Hope Talks, where we share inspiring stories of hope in Jesus Christ. Hope Talks is hosted by Pastor Margaret Michael and Grayson Willis. Join us for uplifting stories of triumph, faith, and the enduring power of Christ's love. Also, if you're in the listening area, tune in to 1470 AM or 102.1 FM WBTX to listen to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis. Thanks for tuning in. And today I'm joined via the phone by Kyle Roth. Kyle, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Grayson. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. Just grateful for technology to be able to record great testimonies, even if we're not in the same zip code.
Yeah.
Kyle's here to share his testimony with us today. Kyle, just start out telling us about where you're from and about how you grew up.
Sure. Yeah. I live in Ephrata, Pennsylvania. It's in Lancaster County, about an hour west of Philadelphia, if people know where that is. It's a really small town. I've grown up here my whole life with two parents and two brothers growing up. We grew up in the church, grew up at Ephrata Church of the Nazarene here. And that's still the same church that I attend today. Change of name to Grace Point, Ephrata Church of the Nazarene. But yeah, still the same church that I've always been in.
And just for a little background, I probably should have said this before. So the church that Kyle grew up in there in Ephrata, Pennsylvania, in Lancaster County, Grace Point, is actually the church that our current pastor, Pastor Kevin Griffin, pastored before he came to Harrisonburg. And so that's our connection to Kyle. And also we had the privilege of having Kyle come to our men's retreat this past spring, which was actually in Cape May, New Jersey. And Kyle shared his testimony with the men. And so I thought it would be great to have him share it here on Hope Talks. Kyle, you grew up in the church. We talk about, for those of us that were fortunate enough to be raised in the church and all that, but we still talk about at some point our faith has to become our own. So what were your earliest memories, some of those foundational things growing up in the church that you remember, and when you came to make that decision for yourself personally?
Yeah, like you said, growing up in the church, you hear all the information and you sing a lot of songs and you read a lot of scripture. And I think that I thought that I understood what it was to be a Christian, but it was more like just kind of like begrudgingly following rules at that point, I think.
Right.
It was kind of like, oh, well, these are the things that we don't do, and these are the things that we do do. And I knew how to, you know, be in a service and sing songs and do all the right things. But yeah, it definitely didn't really become real to me until probably the summer when I was like 21 years old. I would say in high school, I sort of was a Christian by proximity and by attendance. You know, I would go to the church every week and I would go to the events that the church put on and be there physically and in the room and take part in them. But there definitely wasn't a whole lot of life change for me. I think that I kind of justified myself by the actions of others. You know, I surrounded myself with a lot of people who I would say, you know, well, they're not living for the Lord at all. So I'm really good. Like people would look at me and say that that's a really good guy, which means nothing. And I think it was when I was 21, I sort of came to not a huge crisis moment, but got out of an unhealthy relationship. Just was really feeling like I was in a transition season of life. I was in my career at the time. I'm an electrician by trade. I've done that since I was 16 years old. So kind of always knew what I wanted to do. So I was doing that full time and just really didn't know what the direction was for my life. You know, I'd been a part of church my whole life and knew all these facts about God and who he was, but it wasn't really personal. I can remember a day when I was 21, I was sort of just going for a walk or a run at a park, just kind of frustrated with the way things were going in my life. And later I would realize that that was because of my own choices and the things that I was deciding to do and take part in, and just really had a moment of clarity with God. I was on that run and it kind of like started to rain on me out of nowhere, as it does in the summer, and was just frustrated and really just calling out to God, like, what do you have for me? Like, what do you have for my life? And I could very really feel these words come to mind. And it was a verse from a song, and it was, strength will rise as you wait upon the Lord. And this verse to the song just came to mind. And I was just like quieted in that moment, you know, as the rain is coming down around me, I just felt this peace and this clarity and just this realization, like, that God was real. It wasn't wasn't just these rules that we followed and this book that we read, but like, this is a real person. This is somebody that I can have a active relationship with. That's just the day in my life that I remember never being the same.
Right. And it's key that we know that it's not religion, it's relationship. It's not about rules and do's and don'ts. It's about God wanting to have a personal relationship with his creation, with those that he's created. And when you were talking, I was thinking a lot about how the Lord has spoken to me a lot through music over this last year. Not that he hasn't in the past, but also I know that one of the ways that you serve at your church is by playing drums. How long have you been playing drums, and has music always spoken to you like it did in that season?
Yeah, music has always been a huge part of my life. Like you said, I started playing drums, I think, in fifth grade. It was when the school that I attended sort of offered music, and my parents always pushed us to be involved in music. I don't know why. They don't have a musical bone in their body, but they always encouraged me and my brothers, hey, try out an instrument, try something. I don't know that they were thrilled that I picked the drums at the time, but yeah, so I've played drums my entire life, used it in many different ways. I was involved in the marching band and the orchestra through percussion, and just loved music growing up. And after high school, I kind of went away. I didn't really have an outlet or anything to be a part of anymore as far as playing is concerned, but still would go to tons of concerts and was just always connected with the emotions of music. And like you're talking about, the words of music, it's really easy to just sing a catchy song. Right. But when you can really like dive into like these words have meaning, and especially in worship. So we had a guy come back to our church to start leading worship named Pastor Chris Schalter. And when he came to our church, he was looking for a drummer. And I had played drums at the time and was not using them for anything. But I said, hey, you know, I play drums, and if you're willing to give me a shot, like, I'll try. Like, I don't have a lot of experience in this particular setting or in this way. But at the time, there was a woman that I was interested in, and she sang at her church. So I thought it would look good if I played drums at my church. So that ended up being kind of like my avenue into the worship ministry. And it kind of flourished from there. Yeah, music has been a huge part of my life.
It's cool how God can use things that are desires of the flesh, so to speak, to woo us, to draw us into what he has for us. So if you want to share, you mentioned that there was a girl that sang that you're like, it will look good if I play the drums with her singing. So share about that.
Yeah. So the girl that I was talking about, her name was Allie. She was attending a different church. We had gone to high school together, but knew who each other were in high school, weren't like friends or anything like that. But I was interested in her. And like I said, she was singing and was very talented musically. So I started playing drums, and we ended up deciding that we would get into a relationship together, and ended up that she ended up coming to our church. Me and Allie would eventually get married in October of 2014. Me and Allie got married. And at that time, she was singing on worship team with us and Chris. And Chris had a desire to write music. He decided that God had given him the gift of coming up with lyrics and words and music together. And he was looking for somebody to sing a song with him because he wanted to record a song. So he asked Allie if she would record a song with him. And that ended up flourishing into them creating a music group that they called The Autumn. We would go out into the community and lead worship at coffee houses and different events and festivals in the area. And God just really used, at that time, music to change my relationship with him. You talked about learning about God or being encouraged through lyrics of songs. And it was during this time where so much of my life was tied up in worship ministry. And you sing these songs over and over again. And I always tell people that I've learned more about who God is through my experience in worship ministry and leading others in worship than I ever have like reading scripture, right? Because it's just become so much more real to me in those moments than it has through other avenues.
Right. And also, you and Allie got married in 2014, and you have two boys. So share a little bit about your and Allie's journey.
Yeah. So I have two sons, Emmett, who is 6 now, and Owen, who is going to turn 4. In a few weeks. Back when we had Emmett and we were looking forward to the birth of Owen, Allie's pregnancy was really hard. She was in a lot of pain, and we talked to the doctors about it, and they kind of just said, you know, this is normal pain from having a baby. You know, you're really small and the baby's really big and just in an uncomfortable position. And yeah, she had a rough pregnancy, and probably like the last 2 weeks of her pregnancy, she was kind of in bed just because of the pain that she was in. And then eventually on August 2nd of 2021, Owen was born. He was born via C-section. That they knew that that was going to be the case just due to some of the concerns that they had. And when Owen was born, I was in the room, but I had to be removed because there was some complications with anesthesia. And so I was outside of the room waiting. And the doctor actually came out into the waiting area and she said, "Hey, Kyle, like, we don't know exactly what's going on, but when we opened Allie up, we found some things that don't look quite right. So with your permission, we want to remove some things and send them out for further testing." And obviously I said, "Yeah, do whatever you think is best." So they did that and Owen was born and we were on this mountaintop moment in the labor recovery room of being there with Owen, our new son, looking forward to taking him home and starting our life as a family of four. And 2 days later in that room, we were in the room with our son and I get a phone call. It was the doctor who did the delivery of Owen. And she said, "Hey, Kyle, like, I wanted to be there in person, but some scheduling stuff came up and I couldn't get there in time, but I didn't want you to hear from anybody else." She said that we got the tests back from some of the preliminary samples that we sent out and we don't know the extent of it, but Allie has cancer in her body. They wanted to set up some immediate further testing and different scans and things to find out the extent of what we were dealing with. But yeah, just to get that news in that environment was just, I just can't describe it as anything else, but feeling like the rug was pulled out from under you. To have all of your plans kind of erased in that moment for the future and just not knowing what the next minute holds, let alone the next few years, was, yeah, a crazy experience.
Yeah, I can't imagine that. Just, I think about, it sounds like a gut punch, so to speak.
Yeah.
After coming off this joy of having your second child, and then to have this happen just 2 days later, whatever you want to share about this journey that you and Allie went on after this diagnosis of cancer and the highs and lows, how the Lord was with you, but also this is a tough diagnosis for a young couple that you'll have the rest of your lives ahead of you as a family of four. And then, like you said, the rug kind of got pulled out from under you all.
Yeah. So me and Allie were 29 at the time of Owen's birth. After that initial conversation, we went and Allie had scans and different things done. And about, I think it was 2 weeks later, we walked into the cancer center for the first time to sort of see what next steps were and what the diagnosis was. At the time, we still didn't know exactly what was going on. So we sat down across from the doctors and they told us, they said, "Kyle, Allie, this is not good." They said, "You have stage 4 colon cancer." They didn't know why nobody had caught it up until this point. They didn't know how it came about so quickly. But they said, "Barring a miracle, this will be the thing that takes your life." They said that anything that we do moving forward is not to save your life, but just to buy you as much time as we can. So she started chemotherapy and some different treatments, which everybody knows the effects of that they have on the body. She was in a ton of pain all the time. It was a constant battle to manage her symptoms and her pain. Eventually, we ended up in the hospital when the tumor didn't respond to the chemotherapy and it was still growing and blocking off things inside of her body. So she couldn't eat, couldn't pass anything along. And so she was kind of just getting backed up. So we ended up in the emergency room. And we would spend about 4 weeks there. They tried to get things under control. They tried a couple different procedures. And the plan was to start another round of chemotherapy, a different version that would hopefully the cancer would respond to better. And while we were in the hospital there after about 4 weeks, this was about 2 weeks before Thanksgiving, we were in the hospital and they came in and they told us, "Kyle, Allie, there's nothing left for us to do. There's no more treatment options. There's nothing that will improve your quality of life at this point. And we're going to release you into hospice care." So we entered into hospice care at home for a little while and then ended up in inpatient hospice care because they couldn't really manage her symptoms at home and she needed constant help. So we went into hospice care and then on December 5th, the day before my 30th birthday, Allie went home to be with the Lord. Yeah. It was kind of our journey. But yeah, the way that God has been with us through it, it was crazy. When we were in that hospital room and we got the news of cancer, not knowing what it meant, not knowing what the future held, I can remember very vividly sobbing, obviously, with my wife. And I can't remember if it was her or me who said it, but they said, "Well, I guess this is our opportunity to live out our faith." At the time, we were leading in worship. We would be up on the stage of our church every week and tell them who God was. You know, we'd sing about the joy and the hope and the peace and the comfort, all these different attributes of who God is. And due to that, in that moment, we knew who God was. We knew, regardless of the circumstances, that God was going to be who he said he was going to be, regardless of the outcome. We were a part of youth group, so we stood in front of our youth and proclaimed who God was. And so we decided that this wasn't going to be the thing that ruined any of that, that God was still who he was, and that we were going to live that out, even in really difficult circumstances.
I just can't imagine the pain of that. And I think I remember something when you shared your testimony at Men's Retreat after that time about being up there and singing one of the songs and questioning, you know God is good, but questioning him in this difficult time with the words of one of those songs. So would you like to share about that?
Yeah, so I took a break from a lot of things after Allie passed away. I was a youth leader and ran the young adult program at our church. I was involved in the worship ministry, and I took about 2 or 3 months off of all that. I wasn't working at the time. Just needed a break and needed to process everything. I was taking care of a newborn and a 3-year-old at the time. So, you know, it was just a lot going on, a lot to figure out, and a lot of things that there just were no answers to. So I can remember it was the week that I was going to go back to playing drums for the first time. I'm sitting down in my basement at my drum set at home, getting ready to practice and get into that. And the first song that we were going to play was the song Jireh. And for those that don't know, the first lyrics of the first verse of that song is, "I'll never be more loved than I am right now." And I immediately just turned the music off, and I was sitting there at my drum set, and I said, "Really, God?" Like, I've never been more loved than I am right now in this moment of just feeling no love, going from an incredibly healthy marriage with an incredible woman who loved me so well. And I could just feel God pressing on my heart, "Kyle, do you believe that that's true for you in this moment?" And I'm like, "No." Like, how could I be never more loved than I am right now? And I'm sitting there, and God says to me, "Kyle, you were never more loved before you met Allie. You were never more loved when you were married to Allie. And you were never more loved than you are in this moment, because I love you." And just that realization of God just being so constant, like, whether it's in the deepest, darkest valley of my life as a single dad and widower, that I wasn't more loved in my relationship with Allie because God loves me so much more than any earthly relationship.
And that sounds like surrender to me. Just talk about, this is a difficult season in your life. You're a single dad with 2 boys. Just talk about how God carried you through this difficult season. And maybe there's somebody listening that has lost a spouse and has 1 or 2 small kids, or maybe they have a spouse that has a bad diagnosis that there's, like you said, the doctor said, any treatment we do is not to save your life, it's to extend your life. So maybe there's somebody listening that's in one of those 2 circumstances. Just talk about how God helped carry you through this difficult season in your life.
Yeah, one of the biggest things that has helped me in the area of surrender comes out of Proverbs 3:5 says, "Lean not on your own understanding." I often joke to people that if given the opportunity to share with young people, the title of my sermon would always be that you don't know it, but you're a moron. When I look over my own life, and I can tell them that because that's the way that I feel about myself. When I look at who I've been my entire life, when I look at who I was in high school, you think that you know everything. You think that you have it all figured out, and you live your life out of your own understanding. And I can just pinpoint the decisions that I made in life and the ways that those left me wanting, the ways that those left me unfulfilled. And I can look at who I was when I was in my 20s and just the decisions that I made that were just out of earthly human understanding and the damage that some of those decisions did. And when I came to the terms in these moments of just needing to surrender daily to God, because I had to come to the realization that I wasn't enough for my circumstances, yeah, that there was no amount of Kyle Roth, there was no amount of my own understanding that was going to get me through this time. And you have to come to realize that it's a daily surrender to the things that are not understood. I had so many questions about the why, but there was no answers for those questions. So it really helped me to not lean on my own understanding, as hard as that was, to say, you know what, God, I don't have this all figured out, but I don't have to, because I know who you are. I know that you're bigger than these circumstances, so I don't have to have it all figured out. It was those daily moments of like coming home from a long day of work and knowing I didn't have anything left in the tank for my kids, and knowing that I had to walk through that door and be dad, and not knowing how I was going to do that, right? Like not knowing how I was going to be a mom and a dad to them to fulfill the role that Allie held was just impossible. So it was that daily surrender to God that he would just have to do it through me. And through that, he did. He met me in those moments. He met me in my pain and carried me through it. And it wasn't through the things that I understood. A lot of the times it was just through the surrender to somebody that I knew had it all figured out and who I knew would be enough for my circumstances.
That's powerful. You said it back a little bit ago in your testimony about when this diagnosis came about. It's easy to follow Christ when everything's going good, when everything's happy, but when hard times hit, that's when our faith is tested. You realize that even though you weren't enough, God was enough. And for just taking things day by day, moment by moment, I'm sure, like you were talking about coming home from work and asking God to give you strength to fill the role essentially that your wife filled before her passing. You talked about God being enough, and we know that God provides. We might not understand why he does things that he does, and we might not understand until heaven, but God provides. So talk about that season, and then talk about God brought somebody else into your life, and share about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So as far as God providing, I have any time that I've been given a couple opportunities to share my testimony and to preach and to do different things. Like you shared, I got to share at your guys' men's retreat this summer, which is an awesome blessing. And one of the things I always tie into my sermon is that there's nothing in this life that Jesus' death and resurrection are not the answer for. I think sometimes when we think about God providing, we think that he needs to do something right now in my circumstances to get me through this. And I have found that it's in the shadow of what he's already done that I've found my strength. It's in the shadow of the cross. It's in the fact that all of my needs were met in the act of Jesus on the cross, that I have found hope and joy and peace in my circumstances. And that it enables us to live in a way that joy in and of itself is not happiness. It's a deep rooted sense that everything is going to be okay. And it's only lived out of an understanding of who God is and what he's done for us. And we can live in a way that looks crazy to the world because we understand what Christ has already done. There's a song, like you said earlier, songs speak to us. And the song that got me through this season was the song Worthy of My Song by Phil Wickham. It's a song that talks about who God is. And it talks about, you know, I'm going to live like my king is risen. I'm going to preach to my soul that you've already won. Even when I can't see it, I'm going to keep believing that the promises you made are as good as done. He talks about, I'm going to give you my worship because you still deserve it. You're worthy of my song. And a lot of the ways that I approached the struggles that I was in was out of a place of, God, you're just worthy of what I have. Regardless of my circumstances, I don't believe that you gave my wife cancer. I don't believe that you took my wife from me. I believe that you made a way for Allie to be healed in eternity, and that you made a way for me to live in such a way that honors you even in difficult circumstances, because I have hope for a future with you. And crazily enough, God did, like you said, do something physically as well. Even though what he had already done for me on the cross was enough, in February of 2023, I had someone reach out to me that wasn't sure if I was looking to get into a relationship or not. They were a past pastor at our church's wife, and she knew somebody who lived in Illinois. Her name was Michelle. Sure. So the pastor's wife reached out to me and she said, hey, I don't know where you're at in your search for a relationship or anything like that, but we know of somebody that we believe to be a rare find. And at the time, I knew that I wanted to remarry. It was something that for me, for my boys, just they were so young, and I just knew that I wanted them to have a mom figure in their life. They would always have Allie as their mom, and Emmett has fond memories of her. Obviously, Ellen was too young to have really met Allie and have those memories, but I wanted them to have that in their life for them and for me. So I gave it to the Lord. I said, God, this feels like an unapproachable thing to try and enter into a relationship with somebody. God, just to protect me, to protect my boys, I'm just going to put this in your hands. I said, I'm going to put negative effort into seeking out a relationship, and you just make it abundantly clear when you have the right person and it's the right time for me to pursue this. So she reached out to me, and this seemed kind of out of the blue. And I said, well, God, if this was what you had for my life, it would clearly be from you, because I didn't seek this out. So I decided that I would meet Michelle. And we met, and in August of 2023, Michelle ended up moving here from Illinois to Pennsylvania. And there were so many things about who Michelle is that I can look at the ways that God prepared her specifically to step into our circumstances. Michelle was a nurse in an oncology suite. So she was around people with cancer all the time, administering chemotherapy. So she had a lot of insight into my circumstances through her job. She had a lot of compassion for my circumstances through her job. She had multiple times in her life stepped into families who had children to help. At times even lived in the home to help take care of kids during difficult times. It was just an incredible comfort around who she was in a relationship with her. And then in September 15th of that same year, 2023, we got engaged. On October 16th, we got married, only 8 months after meeting for the first time. And it was just such an incredible experience to see the way that God just moved towards me in my pain and just supplied this, just made this happen, just moved heaven and earth to just pick somebody out geographically of the middle of the country that we would meet in such an incredibly all God be to the glory way. And the way that he used not only Michelle to bring so much healing and comfort and peace to my circumstances, but also used me and the boys to bring so much healing and peace to her circumstances as well. It's easy for people to look at the situation and say, wow, God did an amazing thing for Kyle and his boys. But Michelle would be the first to tell you that God did an amazing thing for her in her life in bringing us together.
Right. Yeah. God knows what we need and when we need it. And two of the things that really stick out to me, one you shared today and one you shared back at the men's retreat. The first one, you talked about his death and resurrection on the cross, forgiving us of our sins. That was enough. If he doesn't do anything else for us, that's enough. And that's powerful. And obviously, joy and happiness are not the same. We can always have joy despite what our circumstances are in the highs and the lows. But something else that's very powerful that you shared on the men's retreat is you said, God is good and he brought Michelle into my life, not God is good because he brought Michelle into my life. And I'm sure Michelle could say the same. God is good and he brought Kyle and Emma and Owen into my life, not God is good because... Yeah. Of that.
Right.
Kyle, thank you for joining us through all of this. We call this program Hope Talk. So what is bringing you the most hope in your life right now?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that right now, I find myself in another odd season of life. I'm dealing with some arm pain. I've been diagnosed with tendonitis in both arms. It's kept me from doing a lot of the things that I love. I'm not drumming, obviously, with this, which immediately kind of, you know, brings you to a point of like, really, God, like, why is this going on right now? Why, you know, this is something that I do for you. This is something that you just bless me with. Like, and I think a lot of times our immediate response is why, you know, when we run into hard circumstances. I know I've asked that question many times, and sometimes I get the answer to it, you know, but we don't always. And so one of the biggest things that I've seen in my life just is that God is a constant. Life is just so ups and downs with so many different things, whether it be our health or our finances or whatever it may be. And sometimes we make the mistake of attributing those things to God. But I have found in my life that God is not the thing that's a high and a low. God is constantly the same. God is, like you said, constantly good. God constantly knows what I truly need, not what I want, but what I truly need. God has provided day in and day out. And that's, like we said at the beginning, a relationship with him. I have found that through my relationship and my love for the Father, all other things are put in the right place. I have an incredible relationship with my wife when I love God first. That out of the overflow of God's consistency, all other things in my life are put in the right perspective. And that God doesn't promise me health. He doesn't promise me finances. He doesn't promise me, you know, all these earthly things. And when I don't expect that, when it comes up and there is a struggle, I don't blame God. But I'm already in relationship with God, like we talked about. And so those things are put in right view.
Right. Thank you for sharing that. That's a good word, Kyle. And just in closing, anything else that I haven't asked you already or that you haven't shared already that you would like to share?
No, I think that we touched on everything that I wanted to share.
Well, thank you for joining me today, Kyle. It's been great to have you and a joy to hear your testimony again. I know it's brought hope to my life, and I pray a blessing over you, Michelle, Emma, and Owen.
Thank you. Yeah. It's been great to be here.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. As you've heard Kyle Roth's testimony today, I pray that it truly has been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg in partnership with Sunshine Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.